James chapter 4, we see in verse 11, he says, it says here, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law." But 4:11, James 4:11. "He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." And this is all talking, you know, tribulation, and people don't realize that, to be a judge of the law. Well, we have no law to judge, so there's also places we could go with that. But I just wanted to point something out here, because you see that we're talking, interesting observation we made. When, in this case, you know, during the tribulation, you can't be mad at your brother. You have to love your brother, no matter what. You've got the grace for him, and if you have hatred towards your brother, you're a murderer, and they lose their salvation in the tribulation, unless they get things forgiven and made right and all that kind of stuff. And so, what we have today, that's not our problem. So because that's the law that says that they're not to speak evil of their brother, if they do, then they're actually judging the law. They're saying that that law is not right, because they're going to go ahead and do that. See what I'm saying? They're rebelling against that law. And, you know, today, because of what Christ puts forth, He puts forth a grace. And because people are not willing to accept His grace as He's taught through Paul, then they actually speak evil of His grace. If they can speak evil, they judge the law, they speak evil of the law by refusing to follow it, then by people that are thinking that the grace is almost there, but you need to be forgiven, you need to ask for confession, all this kind of stuff, then they're actually speaking evil of God's grace. Or, let's look at it this way, they speak evil of pleasing God. Because if they're going against what it is that Paul teaches, then they're actually speaking evil, they're actually judging Paul. And if this King James Bible goes against what they believe and then they teach something else, then they're actually judging and speaking evil of the King James Bible. And then you know there's people that will speak evil of you because you're trying to learn that increase in knowledge and judgment that Paul talks about in Philippians. So you're trying to change some things in your life. They'll speak evil of you. They're judging you. They're judging God's grace. They're judging what God has taught you to do to please God in your life. So they're judging that. And in all reality, then they're judging your decisions, and they're judging your life, and they're doing the very thing that they accuse us of doing. When you walk into a room, or when you say something, or you speak something, or whatever, and you talk about things, you pull out your Bible verse, they accuse us of being very judgmental. When in all reality, they're the ones that are judging. They're judging God's grace. They're speaking evil of it. They're speaking evil of your attempt in your flesh, in your life down here, to please God. They're speaking evil of that. They're judging you for that. They're judging your life. They're speaking evil of your life. Isn't that terrible? And yet they think that you're doing that to them. So that was just a quick little thing there. But that's how you can take that thing in James chapter 4, verse 11. That's not written to us. It sure is there something there for us. That during that tribulation, they will be speaking evil of the law and judging the law. And today, they speak evil of God's grace. They speak evil of those of us that try to please Him on our walk. Those that are trying to change some things. Speak evil of Paul. They speak evil of the King James Bible. And they accuse us of what they actually are doing themselves. But that's how those things work out. Now tonight, for the main feature as such, don't expect it to be horribly long, but let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Now let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go, we backtrack a little bit. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. And this isn't meant to be a Baptistic thing, but one of the tenets or one of the beliefs of the Baptist doctrine is the priesthood of the believers. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, the only place you can get that, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, he says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And the Baptists would go to that and say, well, there's our priesthood of the believers. We're made priests now because we can go straight to God. Well, the fact is true. That yes, we can. But is that actual the verse support? No, there's no verse support in Paul's teachings for that. None whatsoever. Look down in verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation." We're not the chosen generation. "A royal priesthood." There it is. See? "And a holy nation." Gentiles? Serious? "A peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's true.
Ooh, what's all that? I got a operator just buzzed in. That was weird.
And so we see that this text for this priest is not out of Paul. So my point here is the extracurricular class. We had three R's this morning. We had the righteous Jesus, we had the risen Jesus, and then we had the returning Jesus. And now we're going to look at the one tonight just for a couple of minutes because not many verses on it. The reigning Jesus, R-E-I-G-N. He will reign. So let's look at that word reign, because we've heard people, and I've said it 1,000 times, that when we die and go up to be with the Lord, that we will rule and reign with Him in the millennium. And that's not totally true. We don't rule at all. He rules. And if you go to Revelation chapter 12, so see, the second curricular class is not to rule. We will not be ruling as such. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 5. It says, He brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Okay, and if we go to Revelation 19, and that should be a very familiar chapter to us. 19 verse 15. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Now we see here that, you know, Christ is going to rule the millennium, obviously, with a rod of iron. And again, we go back to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Show you something here. 1 Corinthians 14, 3, in case you weren't there before. Hope you all had a good day today. 1 Corinthians 14, 3. Here's one of the verses that I've used in a family situation. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that profiteth, that's not what I want, he that prophesieth edifieth, verse 3, sorry, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. And I mentioned that, on, I think it was on the Wednesday night sermon, to where in our homes there should be comfort as well as preaching, and there should be, there's a verse, it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, just look to there. And he also mentions comfort in this Corinthians verse. See, Paul teaches about comfort. And you don't find comfort in the tribulation, and you don't find ruling with a rod of iron in the dispensation of grace. So when we go to these verses, and we're talking about being priests, and we go to the reigning, and we talk about we will rule and reign with Christ, we have people today, fathers, mothers, parents, grandpa, whatever, who's ever in charge of children, who say they're Christians, and they're trying to follow Jesus' teachings, well, one of them is to rule with a rod of iron. But that's not until the millennium. And this priest thing, ruling and reigning, we're not going to rule, we will reign with him. That's still millennium. That's not today. And this teaching of the we are priests and this type of thing, the design is there, but no, we're not priests yet today. Yes, we can go to God the Father as they could in the Old Testament, in the Holy of Holies, etc., etc. Yes, we can. But it's not used as a title to us yet. Now, 1 Thessalonians 2:11. And I don't know if this is going to help anybody or not, but this parenting application to a Bible is very important, that we aren't teaching tribulational teachings or a design of the tribulation or the Gospels within our families, because it's something is destroying our children and pushing them away from the real Savior and making things very difficult, makes them angry, as it says, and we're not to make our children angry like that. So 1 Thessalonians 2:11 says, that's first, okay, we want 1 Thessalonians 2:11, says here, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Now, fathers that are out there, do you comfort? Or do you just have this constant rod of iron? Are you constantly over them? Are you constantly ruling, knowing that, thinking that you will rule and reign with Christ during the millennium? Is this how you portray yourself? Then that's not the teaching that comes across, which I'll show you here in a few minutes here. The word reign, R-E-I-G-N, is to possess or exercise power or authority, okay, to rule, it's in there, to exercise government as a king or emperor, to hold the supreme power, to be predominant, to prevail, to have superior or uncontrolled dominion. Now, does that mean that Well, see, that's just the same word. If he says the word reign, then sure, we're still going to rule. No, because we just saw the verses. I think we looked them up. Christ is the one who rules. Take your Bibles and look at Revelation chapter 20. Now, we'll save that one for a minute here. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5. And so, keep this thought about ruling and or reigning in the millennium. And why is it that we have to have such a ruler who reigns within our homes today? Because we're getting it from the wrong section of the Bible. Sure, there's exhortation. Sure, there's prophesying. Sure, there's direction. Sure, there's charging. There's also comforting. There also should be comforting in there. Now, we go back to Romans chapter 5, and we look at an interesting verse talking about the word reign, R-E-I-G-N. And we see where it says, nevertheless, wait a minute, before we do nevertheless, we should go back to the verse 13, because nevertheless ties those together. Verse 13, Romans 5:13 says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Okay, so before Moses there was no law. But he says in verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Well, because Adam was the first sin. And even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Little sidelight here, who was the figure of him that was to come, which would be Christ. So we see a time where even when there was no law, death still reigned because of Adam. Now we'll just jump a couple verses. Look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense, that'd be Adam, death reigned by one. So death is the reigner. It's reigning over everything. The death is going to take place for everybody. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now the next couple of verses have a negative and a positive. Negative, positive, negative, positive. The offense and the grace. That kind of a thing. Referring to Christ and referring to Adam. If you look at verse 21, we see that as sin hath reigned unto death. Now we get to verse chapter 6, verse 12. We see that let not means you have a choice. But see, death reigned and sin reigned, and we were in bondage to sin, but now we no longer are because there is no law. So, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Now I would suggest, and this is all review, that if you haven't heard much of this right here, I would suggest you read Romans chapter 5 and chapter 6 very, very carefully and very slowly. It's not complicated, but you got to kind of grasp that thing. The first half of chapter 6, up to verse 14, tells us that Christ takes care of sin by taking care of the law. And verse 14 and 15 on down talks about why do we still choose to do things? Well, because it's in our flesh. We're separated from it, but it's in our flesh still. And so we choose. Do we follow what the Lord would have us to do? Do we follow what our flesh would have us to do? That's one of the traits of the spirit of the liberty of Christ. All things are lawful unto us. So yeah, we can do what we want because there's no law. But we ought not do what we want because that would be feeding our flesh. Do we want to do this particular activity because our little thing that we want to do to ourselves or whatever, is it because of the flesh or is it okay? Is it actually pleasing to God? You know, there's a lot of things that we do, all things are lawful, but it certainly doesn't mean all things are pleasing to God. Just that He's taking care of those things so the sin is not imputed. There is no law to make it a sin, but those things that we do have to be judged in the judgment seat of Christ. There we are. There's that whole cycle in there. So some of the things that we do, they're okay because there's no law, but they're not pleasing to God. Might be pleasing to you, might be pleasing to your flesh. It'll put a power over you. Do you constantly think about it? Then it's got a power over you already. Is it edifying? What's it going to edify somebody? Is it expedient? Is it the right thing to do? Or is it an occasion for the flesh? So, all sorts of things we can ask ourselves. But we see back again, it says, let not sin therefore reign. We reign in our bodies today. We are in charge of our bodies. We can choose not to this, we can choose not to do that. So the word reign, Christ is not reigning in us because He's not making us do anything. Now, if we look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, let's look there just for a second here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, we see that there is something that should reign in our lives. And I don't think I've got the right verse. Let's see if I can find it here. I probably can't. That's probably verse 15. I hope that's what that means. Yes, there it is, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Oh, there's our ruling. That's beyond the reigning. That's the rule. That's the one who's in charge. That's the peace of God. Now, you look back at the peace of God. You look back at the things in our lives. There's no law. We look back at imputation. We look back at the comfort. We look back in Romans 14 that when you're around people that don't want to do the right thing and you don't either, but you still, I mean, you do, but you don't get into a big scene. You got to partake with them. There's nothing to feel guilty about unless there was a chance to say something. Or maybe you just stood your ground and you wouldn't do what they wanted to do and cause problems, but there's peace that you're supposed to have in that thing. So yeah, it's the peace of God that rules in our hearts. But Christ is not ruling over us today. Christ is not even reigning over us today. He's there. He exists. He allows the lost to do what they're going to do. He allows the saved to do what they're going to do. And it's all going to come out in the judgment seat of Christ for the saved or the white stone judgment for those that are lost. Anyway, that's just kind of a lot of things there. But let's get back to my point here about reigning. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now here's an interesting little verse, really. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We look at the verses above this thing. Look at verse 11. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Verse 13, which is one of our favorite verses for eternal salvation. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. But we look at verse 12, and it says there, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Okay, if we deny him, he also will deny us. So, a number of questions and observations in there. First of all, it says we shall also reign with him. So we will not be the rulers. He's the ruler. He will rule with an iron hand in the millennium. And so we will reign, have that position with him while he rules. So it's still an exciting place to be. I'm not trying to deflate that or anything. But we don't ought not say to people, we're going to rule and reign with him, because we're not. We're going to reign with him. Now, are you sure it's us that's going to reign? Is the bride, would the groom have the bride reign with him? There's those questions that people ask. If we look at this, then what is he going to deny us? I mean, if we deny what? If we deny him, he also will deny us. Well, sure, that makes sense on a salvation basis. If you deny Christ for your salvation, at the time of your judgment, he'll deny you, sure. But that's not what we're talking about here. We are talking about suffering. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Semicolon. Or is that a colon? Colon. If we deny him. In other words, if we deny him, he also will deny us. So what are we talking about there? This, from what I can see, this has to be dealing with the millennium. So if we deny suffering, because it says right there, if we suffer, we'll reign. But if we deny what? Suffering for him. Deny him, because if we deny him, we won't suffer. Well, what kind of suffering are we talking about here? Let's look over here to Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Now, there are some people that are going to suffer. There's people in the past that have suffered in history. And I really, without a doubt, thinking that a lot of people suffered needlessly during the early church days, suffered over being baptized, not things like that. That was not called for. But just have a page of Bible, and there's people that died for properness. Of course, that was the way it was even described in the church. But Revelation 20, verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. That narrows that thing down to the tribulation. Neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So, there's people who suffer. So, without a shadow of a doubt, those people through the tribulation who do not take the mark and they follow the law, or they go through confession and they get forgiven and they're clean when he arrives, so they're not ashamed, they will rule and reign with him. But we have to remember that Paul does talk about that. So if Paul talks about it in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I guess that would be referring to us as well. Well, you go in Ephesians chapter 2 and you see how we've been made one with the Jews and Christ, and so all that is potential there, so I guess that makes sense. But I've got to go back to verse 2 of 2 Timothy, because he says, if we suffer. Well, we can't go to the... Let's just make this kind of an earthly level. We're walking around and we're talking and we meet some of these people from the tribulation who really did some serious suffering. And we start complaining and whining about some of the suffering that we went through today. Well, the question is why would we even suffer if there is no law? If there is no law for a Christian, then we can do anything we want. We can do something that would keep us from suffering. And I think a lot of King James guys, a lot of Paul-following guys are fading off because, in fact, I've got some emails, I know some of them are, because they're tired of the difficult life that comes about by being a Christian today. I didn't say suffering, I just said a difficult life. Yes, Paul does say that we will suffer persecution. If you want to try to live godly, you know, you want to try to do right, sure you'll be persecuted. But I certainly don't see the persecution that they have in the tribulation. So yes, it's those tribulation saints that they're going to be reigning with Christ in the millennium. But it looks to me like we can too. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. But if we deny Him, He will deny us. So, those people in the tribulation, they're going to deny the suffering. They take the mark. They're over. They deny some of the things that they need. They deny Christ by going ahead and doing some things. Sure, they can be forgiven. They confess their sin. They can righteous and just to be forgiven. They get that all taken care of. But what's our suffering today? Just dressing modestly? Not laughing at a dirty joke? Not going into a place where the family or friends want you to go into? Not participating in a specific activity? Not doing something to yourself that everybody else wants to do, but you're just going to fight this thing? The list can go on. And if we choose to do those things as we grow in knowledge and in judgment, and if we try to prove all things acceptable unto the Lord, Ephesians talks about that, and if we're not going to judge those, things that please God, we're going to try to do those things, we will be judged. So yeah, we'll suffer. The long dresses in a town where nobody else wears them, except maybe on Sunday. Or what I'm going to be doing in a school. Some of the things I'm going to have to deal with, weak in the faith or not in the faith. It takes wisdom. It's going to take the right timing. And how do we do these things? You're in your workplace. You out there in the stores, you've got managers that could care less about Christianity asking you to do things. And you got to obey your boss. Even Paul teaches us that through the risen Savior. So, are we suffering enough that we're going to reign with Him? I'd have to say not if you're going to compare us to the people in the tribulation. But we don't have to compare ourselves to that time, that era. If we're going to do this to reign with Christ, we probably got the wrong attitude and the whole thing will still probably burn out of selfishness anyway, but getting past that, what you're going through today, what we're trying to go through today to do right, dress right, talk right, watch the right things, maybe not watch anything, try to get something going in your life, trying to make some changes, you're going to suffer. And as a result of that suffering, that's going to be leading up towards your reigning with Christ. Don't think about the tribulation, folks. Obviously, they should have the top rung of the ladder, what they went through. Beheaded for His word and all those things. But that doesn't still, we're living in a time where it is tough to do right and to try to learn to do right. People, like we said in James, they judge Christ, His grace. They judge Paul. They judge the King James Bible. They judge you. They speak evil of you. They speak evil of what you're trying to do. And it wears you down. It wears you down. But if we would just keep thinking about the judgment seat, and we keep thinking about the reigning with Him during the millennium, then maybe that's a little bit of an encouragement to keep going with where you're at. Or to strive more for the first part. Revelation 11, verse 15. Look at Revelation 11. Revelation 11, verse 15 says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord." See, someday he's gonna have it all. And it says, "And of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." Well, if He's going to reign forever and ever, so will we reign with Him. But we also know that He's going to rule with an iron rod.
rod of iron. But that's not going to be our job. We're just going to reign with him. I don't know the detail. I don't know how to explain that. But I know that Paul doesn't use the word rule. He uses the word reign. And the word rule is used for Christ with a rod of iron. And I'm sorry to say, but there's people today in Christianity, I've seen them for years, that have chosen to rule their home with a rod of iron, claiming Jesus is going to do it too. And he'll make those people do right. Nobody does it. Those people choose to fight him all the way to the end. So, that's just not the way to go. Comfort. Anyway, get into those things. Then let's look here at Revelation 20, verse 6. Let me help you see a little bit that this still pertains to us, believe it or not. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, of which we do. We'll talk about that maybe Wednesday night. On such, the second death hath no power. Second death is in Revelation 15 about the white throne judgment. So that's not a problem for us. So, holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, that's us. On such, the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So yes, we will reign. Yes, we are part of that first resurrection. Yes, the second death hath no power on us, and we shall be priests of God. But today, that's a teaching that is just pushing the limit just a little bit. We have the spiritual reignship, or spiritual closeness with God the Father. God, we're able to draw nigh to God because of the blood of Jesus Christ, but that actual application to be priests, the word, is in the millennium. And if we're going to teach millennial stuff, we have to be so careful that the fathers don't become the ruler within the home and destroy their home, which I know happens all over the place. And it says in Revelation 22, verse 5, and there should be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So, that's just an extracurricular class. You have to know about the righteous Jesus. You have to be trusting in the risen Jesus, and you have to be looking forward to the return of Jesus, knowing your position and place, and if you're at the right place at the right time, with His grace and His mercy, you'll reign with Him as an extracurricular class. But if you're just going to make that your goal in life, you get all mixed up with all this other stuff and not even see Him when He does come for the rapture. So anyway, there's just some quick things tonight about reigning. We don't rule and reign. We'll reign with Him. But just remember that that's all based on our suffering. And as Christians, we all try our very best not to suffer anymore. We're tired of people bugging us. We're tired of people picking at us. We're tired of people making us feel guilty. They're putting a hammer down. They're saying this. They're saying that. And there are times you take it, and there are times you got to stand up for what's right. And if you suffer for it, then you'll be rewarded in the judgment seat of Christ, as well as being able to reign with Him. And if we could just believe that and believe the Scriptures to say what they say and look forward to that, maybe that'll help us in our minor sufferings today, the harassment we get from our friends and family and church family compared to what the tribulation folks are going to go through. They're going to go through some horrible stuff. But He still says if we suffer, we'll reign with Him. But if we deny that suffering, then He'll deny us for the reigning. We won't be able to reign like everybody else will be. Is there degrees of reignship? I would imagine so, but I don't know. What do I know about that stuff? We'll find out. So there you go. There's it for tonight.